So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes.
Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A.
Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview.
Very important election, November 6th. That's only 18 days away. What do voters need to know on to vote on November 6th? And where can they get information? I want to thank three leaders of groups who are interested in getting a maximum voter turnout, a turnout of informed voters. To my left is Aaron Grunz, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, Jay Heck, Executive Director of Common Cause in Wisconsin, and Barbara Beckert, Milwaukee Office Director of Disability Rights Wisconsin. Thank you all for coming in to maximize voter turnout and information. What's at stake on November 6th? Go ahead.
An awful lot, Steve. And, you know, Wisconsin continues to be one of the key states in the country that the nation looks to in terms of how we vote, the turnout, the people who are elected, the way they're elected. And, you know, Wisconsin for 100 years has always sort of occupied that that position. And what's at stake? Obviously, the governorship, statewide offices, a very important key U.S. Senate race that could determine the composition of the United States Senate, and then also the Wisconsin legislature, and then a whole host of others. So it's one of those elections. We always say every election is important, but I think really the rest of the country also feels that this election, given all the things that have happened in the last few years, is really a very, very important election.
Now, your three groups have been active in getting voters out and informed for decades. Is there a higher, are voters more interested this year than in other elections? What do you think, Aaron, and then Barbara?
Yeah, I think there is an uptick in interest. We've noticed even within our group the number of people who want to just get involved by assisting, joining the league or joining registration efforts and activities. Helping to spread information, talk to more people about voting. So I think that for a midterm election, there's definitely additional interest and an increase.
Barbara, are you seeing that?
Yeah, I think for voters with disabilities, there's so much at stake.
Right.
Over the past year, we've seen consideration of making significant changes to programs that are vital to people with disabilities, Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act, the future of our public education system and special education funding. So it's imperative that we have a great turnout from the disability community.
Just to follow up on that, now the laws say that our voting places have to be disability friendly, but disability friendly can mean one thing in an urban area and a different area in a rural area. So are you, as a leader of the disability groups, are you satisfied that those who are disabled can generally overcome barriers? And I understand curbside voting. Can you get into that a little bit?
Yeah, great question. So first of all, I think that a lot more education is needed, both of voters with disabilities as well as poll workers. So there are many rights that voters have, the right to vote privately and independently and to an accessible voting place. Some of the specifics for that might include having an accessible voting machine available. Mm-hmm. According to the Help America Vote Act, every polling place is required to have that. But we find that the reality and the law are not always in sync. So we've got a lot of work to do on that front.
And then curbside voting is available, but there are some rules for that and protocols. Can you talk about
yes,
that?
Yes, if a polling place is not accessible and a voter has a disability, they do have the right to curbside voting to request that, and two poll workers are supposed to come out to the curb and provide them with a ballot so that they can vote privately in their car. That can work very well. We have a new video on voting rights that shows exactly how that plays out here in Madison.
And that video is at what site?
That video is at the Disability Vote Coalition website.
Disability Vote Coalition website.
Okay. Yeah, so we invite folks to check that out. Know your rights. That's so important. But one of the challenges, if you arrive at your inaccessible polling place, you want to do curbside voting, you don't have a way to get inside and to tell the poll workers. So that can be a barrier. We encourage people to plan ahead, have a plan for voting day, see if their polling site is accessible, and if not, to check with their municipal clerk in advance. And they may also want to consider absentee voting.
And just a follow-up question before I get back to Aaron and Jay. If I'm disabled and I live in Taylor County or rural county, mm-hmm. where can I turn to get a ride?
Who
can I ask?
That is a great question, and Common Cause, and Jay may want to speak to this, is putting together a database that's kind of a statewide resource. But, transportation remains a barrier, and particularly if people have mobility needs and require accessible transportation.
What a plug, Jay. Go ahead. Talk about your program.
Well, we have several. You said at the outset of this program that we're here because we want to maximize the number of people that vote in Wisconsin. And that's really the case. There's really no reason why people in Wisconsin should have barriers to voting. And transportation is certainly one. We realized a couple years ago that there was no one place that citizens could go to find out who in their area, if anybody, offered free transportation to the polling place. And so we've put together a website at commoncausewisconsin.org that goes by county and by municipality, all the places that you can turn to, whether it is a taxi service in some areas, whether it is a bus service, or in many cases, it's just Common Cause volunteers who've given up that day, who will take people to the polling place, or more importantly, or just as importantly, will take them to the DMV to get the proper ID they need in order to vote or to early vote. So it's one of the things that resources that our groups try to put together for people to make voting easier and less stressful. And so take advantage of these things. And just let me point out, there's really no excuse for you not to vote. You have to get a proper ID, and in Wisconsin, it's a restrictive and extreme measure compared to the rest of the country, but we've got to overcome that barrier, get the ID, and then get to the polling place. You can't sit out an election.
Aaron, what is your organization doing to make members aware of the importance of the vote and how to vote, and are you seeing, as you said earlier, a lot more interest? Higher interest?
Yeah, higher interest. So we have 20 leagues located around the state, and they're all volunteer run, and they're all boots on the ground in their communities. They're at their food pantries, community centers, they're in the high schools, they're on the college campuses. They help voters know what they need when they go and vote. Answering those questions, what's really nice is that one-on-one, because a lot of times the questions can be simply answered and you can just put a voter at ease knowing that, oh, you do have the right ID, it's right there in your pocket, you're going to be all set, just go that day to vote. Or maybe it's more complicated questions, and the league members, their knowledge about it is massive, and they want to help voters to vote. And so answering those questions where they might be a little more involved and detailed, they really see it through to get the voter what they need to make it to the polls. And so we engage in registration work, education work, how to look at your ballot, how to mark your ballot. We put out vote411.org is a candidate information. We send out questionnaires to all the candidates and ask them to reply in their own words, and we post those and make that available. So understanding what you're going to see when you go in to the voting booth, and which candidates represent the issues that matter to you and how you want to cast that
now,
vote.
Now, the league tries to place observers in many polling
That's
places,
right.
correct?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And the purpose of a observer, how can a voter know that it's a league observer as opposed to a D or an R observer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Wisconsin allows for observers to be either nonpartisan or there are partisan observers, so the parties do send observers as well. We follow the guidelines of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, guidelines and laws, as far as where observers can be placed, how they can interact or not interact, and with whom. And all the observers are required to wear a name tag. Now, I believe the name tags don't specify who they are, but that they are an observer. And when we do interact with the chief inspector or a voter, and voters have to be interacted with outside of the polling space.
Area?
Yeah, or where you cast your ballot. Then the observer introduces themselves as, I'm so-and-so, and I'm with the League of Women Voters doing observations today.
Okay.
And then the observer can help voters outside of the polling place if they would like help.
So I'm a voter, and mm-hmm. I'm going in, and I have to show now ID, and then I have to sign. Mm-hmm. And there's observers that can be behind the poll workers.
Mm-hmm.
Can those observers ask me anything during the voting process? No.
Oh, no. No. No interaction with the poll workers or with the voters.
Okay. That's important for voters to know.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara, you were going to make a point.
Yeah. Steve, I wanted to share one additional oversight that will be going on. Disability Rights Wisconsin works with the Wisconsin Election Commission to do accessibility audits on mm-hmm. major election days. So we will be all trained and using the same tool that is a very comprehensive review of accessibility criteria and going out to polling places across the state to do an audit and to ensure that polling places are accessible. You know, historically, many of them are not. And then the follow-up process and ensuring that those complaints are addressed and resolved is important. But I wanted to share that.
Thank you.
In addition to that, we also have a voter hotline, and that's something that individuals are, encouraged to call if they have a disability-related concern. We can help them with trying to resolve that and also with filing a complaint if needed. And it's important to file a complaint if you have a concern. Very few complaints are received.
Well, if I file a complaint, do I do that after I vote, or do I do it there at the clerk's office, or do I send it to the State Elections Commission? Or?
Yeah, I think there are different levels of complaint. The first thing you want to do is get your problem resolved so that you can vote. So you want to talk to the chief election official at your site. If you don't resolve it there, you can go to the municipal clerk or to the election commission, or you can call us. But
okay.
We can provide assistance after the fact with making a formal complaint. And I must say that it's a rather onerous process because it does require that it be notarized and that you have to cite the statutory information from the law that has been violated. We'd like to see that simplified.
Okay, let's do a nuts and bolts. On November 6th, the polls open at
7 a.m.
They close at
8 p.m.
And what do I have to bring to vote if I'm already registered?
What you have to bring, one of a specified form of ID, not any ID.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a photo ID, but it can't be any photo ID. So there's specific IDs. And by the way, Wisconsin has the fewest number of IDs
of
that you can bring to polling place of any state in the country.
Okay.
But you have to bring one of those in order for your ballot to cast. Otherwise, it's what we call a provisional ballot, which means that you would have to come back by the following Friday to your election office, wherever that is, and show the form of ID that's required. So it's a tough process. It's better to be prepared when you go to the polling place.
And we still have same-day voting registration.
We do.
So what do I have to bring to register for the first time, to vote that day?
Aaron? Yeah, so if you show up on election day, you can register to vote. And you'll need a proof of residence. And similarly to needing a specified ID, you also need specified documentation of where you live. So not any piece of mail will work.
Okay.
And that list is available if you go to myvote.wi.gov. That's the official Wisconsin elections site. They'll show you the list of things you can use. And what was just clarified with the law is that credit card statements are now possible. Yeah, acceptable.
They are.
Proof of residence. Yep. So any credit card, Kohl's charge, you know, anything like that that you have with your name and showing your proof of residence will be used to register.
But you also have to bring a photo ID in addition to that. You can't just bring a Kohl's charge card, right?
When you register
to vote? When you register to vote. Okay.
Yeah, when
right.
you register
okay.
to
when
vote,
you, register, you must bring a photo ID
okay.
plus a proof of residency.
No, when you register to vote, you need to bring your just your proof of where you live document. Yep.
And Barbara, you were going
to
say?
Yes, I wanted to speak to that because this can be a particular challenge for voters who are homeless. And unfortunately, a large number of individuals who are homeless have a disability, a high percentage of people with mental illness. So there is a way to address that, but people are often not aware of that. So individuals who are homeless may designate a fixed location as a residency for voting purposes, perhaps a park bench or a shelter someplace, where they hang out, and they need to get a letter from a social service agency that verifies that. We're actually today at Project Homeless Connect in Milwaukee assisting individuals who are homeless with questions about voting. And unfortunately, it's the day after registration can be done in advance, but we can help them with getting the process started.
Now, you just said something that's very important. What deadline ended yesterday? Erin, we talked about it earlier.
Yeah,
what is it?
Yeah, the online registration window is closed, as is the mail-in. So you can't mail your registration documents in. You cannot go online and register. You can still go to your clerk's office, and you can still register on election day. So don't count yourself out if you haven't registered yet, because you can still.
But the online window is closed to register.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
The growing trend of absentee ballots. In 2016 presidential, 27% of Wisconsin voters voted early, absentee. We're on track to hit a third in the 2020 presidential. Anything voters should be aware of as they're increasingly using absentee ballots?
Yeah, so there's two forms of absentee voting that you can take advantage of. One is by mail. You can request that online. Then you can track when it was sent to you. When you fill it out, you can mail it back, and you can track when your clerk has.
How do I ask for an absentee ballot in the mail? Do I have to go to the state site, or do I call my clerk, or both?
Either. What's
a problem?
Mm-hmm.
Either?
Yeah.
Okay, excuse me, I interrupted.
Yeah, so you go through your clerk's office, and you can request a ballot. So give them a call. Some might even have it available. You can request by email. Depends on the clerk, so just check with the clerk. Otherwise, if you go through, again, myvote.wi.gov, you can request an absentee ballot through there, and that's where you can see how it's tracked through the mail. The Wisconsin Elections Commission just put out a memo saying if you'd like to request your absentee ballot, make sure you do so sooner than later, give the mail time to work, and mail your mail-in ballot a week before the election. So you have a couple days before, it's a week out from the election. So those kind of deadlines are important. The last time you can request a mail-in ballot would be on November 1st, but still that's pretty tight.
Yep.
You can always take your ballot into your polling site on election day if you do get it mailed
to you
late.
So you can get it in the mail,
then
you have to personally drop it off where?
You can hand deliver it to your polling place or the clerk's office.
Okay.
Yep.
Please, Barbara.
I wanted to mention that many individuals with disabilities may live in a nursing home, a residential facility, or an adult apartment complex, and in those cases there are additional support for absentee ballot. There's something called a special voting deputy, and they come out to the facility and they would administer absentee balloting there. And if someone is indefinitely confined, they can request an absentee ballot on an ongoing process.
Jade, do you think the trend in Wisconsin and nationally, because 40% of the ballots for president in 2016 were cast absentee, is the trend to vote early in Wisconsin a good thing? Because more people are participating?
Well, whenever more people participate, but I think in part it's a good thing, but it's been offset by some of the barriers that we've put in Wisconsin. And I just wanted to bring this up. You know, the legislature, mistakenly, I think, has made it much more difficult for college students and university students in Wisconsin to vote. For instance,
there's a higher standard for them.
Well, it is because their photo IDs are not necessarily able to be used to vote.
Okay.
Now, on 12 of the, I'm sorry, it's what's it? 9 of the 13 four-year institutions, the photo ID that you're issued as a college student is not usable to vote. You have to go to a separate office on campus to get a ID just for voting. And let's be honest, how many college students who have very short attention spans anyway
and a lot of
are
distractions.
Going to take the time to do that? A lot of distractions. So one of the things that's important, I think, for younger people. Now, obviously, if you're a Wisconsin resident and you have a driver's license, you can use that. But if you are from Minnesota or from Illinois or whatever, and you're in Wisconsin and you want to vote, and you have every right to in Wisconsin, you have to get a special ID in many cases. So again, commoncausewisconsin.org, we have a place that students can go. They can find out whether their ID issued by their college or university, public or private, mm-hmm. is compliant with the law and can be used to vote. And if it's not, where specifically on campus you can go to get the compliant ID.
And a resource of that is where?
And that's, again, on our website, commoncausewisconsin.org.
Okay, what about this scenario? A voter voted Madison for president in 2016 and then moved to Wausau. What does she have to present on November 6th? To register in Wausau.
Yeah, so she'll have to re-register because she moved. So that's always a condition of registration. You need to establish your residency. So re-registration will be required. And then once she's re-registered in Wausau, she can show up on election day with the photo ID needed to get a ballot and to cast it. So anytime you move, even if you're in the same apartment building and you move floors, you'll need to re-register.
That's an important point.
Yeah, yep. And so,
and does that mean that, okay, pursuing this, she now lives in Wausau, she votes. Does that mean on the master statewide voter registration list, will it be done that day that she can no longer vote in Madison? Is it updated in real time? Do you know?
Well, the online, the WIS vote that the clerks all use, that's all updated in relatively real time. And then what they're going to do is they're going to print the rolls for day of. Now, e-poll books is something that's being piloted and tried in different municipalities. It's not required at this point, but the idea behind that is that this will make registration more seamless and easier, and it won't require paper, but it can be backed up on paper. I want to emphasize the security, because there are security concerns with registration rolls and who appears and who doesn't, as we've seen in other spaces and other states. And so the poll books are now that the online registration is done and the mail-in registration is done, the poll books are starting to be generated for the polling sites.
What are your three organizations going to be looking for on November 6th? I mean, are you all going to be actively monitoring the polls? Any concerns, Barbara, come to mind?
Yeah, well, we will first of all be staffing the Disability Rights Wisconsin voter hotline to provide assistance to people with disabilities if they encounter any barriers. In addition, we'll be participating in the accessibility audits. We also do a lot of work in coalition. The Wisconsin Disability Vote Coalition has a very active presence on social media as well as extensive contacts around the state. So we'll be doing a lot of work on the ground around the state with our network through the Disability Vote Coalition to ensure that people have the ability to get their questions answered, to address barriers, and to turn out and vote.
What are you going to be watching, Jay?
Many things, but again, poll watchers are important, and we've encouraged people to go to the League of Women Voters and sign up with their program. One other important resource for voters all over the state is a toll-free number people can call if they have trouble or they have confusion about voting, and if they experience any problem at the polling place or intimidation. It happens from time to time that you'll see someone who might come into a polling place and say, you can't vote, or you better not vote. Mm-hmm. So there's a toll-free number. It's nationwide, 1-866. Is it Our Vote or My Vote?
Our Vote.
1-866-O-U-R-VOTE.
That's a national, if you
it's
have
It's national, but they connect you to the Wisconsin experts that can answer your questions about voting in Wisconsin at a polling place. So that's an important resource.
And then, Aaron, Any special things you're going to be looking for on November 6th?
Yeah, so the League does an observation program, as we mentioned before, and we'll have nearly 300 volunteer observers in the polls throughout the state, covering almost 500 polling sites, which is only a fraction because of how many we have. But working with Disability Rights Wisconsin, we are observing things about accessibility. We want to know best practices and what isn't working. And we want to make sure the laws are followed so that voters aren't disenfranchised, that people are able to cast their ballot. And then, as I mentioned, observers will assist voters outside of the polling place to see if they can help them maybe secure that proof of residence that they need to register, or help them next steps on maybe securing an ID so they can still cast a ballot for that election.
I was fascinated. There was a recent U.S. Supreme Court ruling on what voters can wear. Do you have an understanding on that? Can someone go in wearing a button for a D or R for governor or U.S. Senate? Has our commission upgraded in light of that U.S. Supreme Court ruling, or anybody really know?
I don't.
So that one was a Minnesota case, I believe.
Yeah.
And and in Wisconsin, you can't electioneer. You have to be 100 feet away. And so observers and poll workers are absent of anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Voters who are turning in late and seeking information on the candidates. Most reliable sites, of course, wisi.org. I've interviewed more than 200 candidates.
The go-to place.
How is that for a shameless plug? Okay. Where else should voters go to get information on the candidates?
Well, I know Common Cause is putting something together on Fair Maps right now, and where current candidates stand on that issue. So I think that's very useful. The league is part of vote411.org, where we put the candidates' answers together. I will also support the WISI votes interviews on for voters. We push that as well because we think it's very important that they hear from the candidates their actual words. And the coalition, we're sharing those videos as well. It's just as much information as you can get to people, I think, is very helpful.
Is there any unique site for voters who are disabled, Barbara?
Well, with our Wisconsin Disability Vote Coalition Facebook page and website, one of the things that we have provided is questions for folks with disabilities and other allies to ask candidates, both for state office and for congressional office. And I think that's one of the most important ways to have an impact. And there are many ways to do that. You can attend a forum or town hall. You can text in a question. You can reach out to campaign workers. So I think it's important that people let the candidates know what their priorities are, because sometimes our issues are under the radar. And if they don't that push, they won't get educated.
Okay. We've talked about a lot of issues. Anything else you want to bring up before we wind up? Anything?
Yeah, I would just like to say that, you know, Wisconsin traditionally has been amongst the leaders in voter turnout in the country. Often second, unfortunately, to Minnesota.
Right.
But nevertheless, we've always usually have been one or two. We fell in 2016 from that first and second perch down a bit. The problem, of course, I would argue, is that we have a restrictive voter ID law, which is not necessary, but was imposed politically for political reasons. It has been upheld. But what I would encourage people to do, even if they don't like or support voter ID, is that they get the requisite ID that they need in order to make their voice heard, because that's the only way you affect change. And, you know, especially young people, but everybody, the way you make a difference and the way your voice is heard is through the ballot box. So take the time now. Don't wait until November 5th. Take the time now to get the proper ID that you need in order to be able to vote.
Jay's closing argument. Yours, yeah. Barbara?
Well, I would say that voting is such an important civil right, and that voters with disabilities have the right to an accessible polling place and to vote in privacy and with dignity. And the law protects those rights, but people need to assert them, and we're here to help them.
And Aaron?
Yeah, I think one thing that we're looking at is, you know, the fact that young people aren't voting, and how do we reach them, or just voters who aren't engaged, and helping them connect the issues that they care about to the fact that these individuals are looking to represent them and will create laws that will impact those issues and their lives directly. And so I think it is important that voters be comfortable, know what's going to be on their ballot, to ask questions and get the help that you need, so when you go in and cast that ballot, you can feel confident about it. And, you know, that's just what that's the heart and soul of what the league does. And ask your questions. We're on social media too, and have a website, phone number, and so we just invite the public to participate, and let's, you know, make it a celebration that it ought to be.
Well said. Voters, it's your turn. November 6th, be aware of where your polling place is, information on the candidates, and you may want to use these resources that we talked about, but vote. I want to thank Aaron Grunz of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, Jay Heck of Common Cause in Wisconsin, and Barbara Beckert of the Milwaukee Office of the Disability Rights Wisconsin. Thank you all very
much. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Vote.
Thank you. That's right.
One.
Just.